Brand new series of messages from the Gospel of Luke from the Greek language. Tonight is an introduction, and I have done all the books in the New Testament and all the books in the Old Testament, actually. But I don't have them all recorded. We just finished the Gospel of Mark from Greek, and we just finished 2 Corinthians from Greek. The only three other books in the New Testament that I have not recorded class to class from Greek is Luke, Matthew, and Acts. And so we're going to start Luke. And there's a reason why I want to do Luke. It's because Luke shows Jesus Christ as man, the son of woman, the son of man, that God really became flesh to redeem us. He's our Goel from the Hebrew language. In eternity past, way back over there, it says Jesus Christ stood as a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. God redeeming mankind is not an afterthought. We have the age of innocence with man when God created man in Genesis, the first chapter. And we have the age of conscience that mankind failed in every way. Every one of these was progressive revelation teaching us that we needed a Savior. The age of conscience, we have the flood where God destroyed the earth and everything on it, all mammals on the earth, the land-walking mammals except for those that were in the ark. We have the mankind put under human government, where his responsibility was to scatter and multiply. They did not. We have Nimrod building the Tower of Babel and enslaving other men. We have that failure. We have that judgment. God confused the languages and he divided the earth. He divided the continents. In the days of Peleg, God divided the earth. And then we have the age of promise. There was at least 70 different languages, basic languages from the Tower of Babel. There were over 2,700 languages, language groups after that. We find out that the Hamites' languages were more diverse than anyone else. We have the promise where God called out Abraham, and Abraham was saved by faith. His responsibilities was dwelling in Canaan. He did not. He went to Egypt. And because of that, Israel, his children, would be in Egyptian bondage for 400 years. We go on. We find out that God called Moses, and he established the Mosaic Law there, and he brought Israel out of Egypt. That whole generation, except for Joshua and Caleb, would die in the wilderness because they were not worthy to go into the promised land. And not only that, but the Canaanites, the sins of the Canaanites were fulfilling and getting greater and greater until God would judge them for what they had done. We have the culmination of the law. They failed. Nobody kept the law until the cross of Calvary, and now that's where we are now. All the prophets in the Old Testament pointed toward Jesus. All the prophets in the Old Testament pointed toward Jesus. Jesus is our only hope of salvation. For Adam, all the way this way, God told Adam that the seed of the woman would be the Messiah, that he would have a crippling blow dealt to him on the cross of Calvary, but that he would overcome the seed of Satan. All of those manifested in false religions and Satan himself and that great Antichrist to come. Now, the book of Luke was written by Luke, by the way. Most people believe that. The word Luke means, it is shortened form of Lucifer. Did you catch that? Luke is a shortened form of Lucifer. Lucifer is a Latin word. The Hebrew for this is Hallel, the shining one. When Jerome translated the Greek Septuagint into Latin, he used the word Lucifer. instead of the shining one. And in Latin, that's what it means. The word Luke comes from lucere, a lucere, which means shining one. Now, Luke was a scientist, a physicist, and a doctor. Some accounts say that he lived until he was 84 years old. Now, Luke was written between 63 probably and 70, and just before, maybe 68, 69 AD. Luke writes with great compassion and warmth, just like a family doctor did in the early 1900s. They come to your house and sit with you. I had doctors come to my house, as poor as we were, to our shack. They waited on my grandfather the night that he died. The doctor came in and gave him a shot. He was dying of respiratory failure because he was a Cherokee Indian, and in World War I he'd got that flu, and that flu destroyed his life. In this valley, Fish Lake Valley, where Marilyn and I live now, and where DTW headquarters is, at the end of World War I, there were some white people came into this valley, and they brought the flu, and probably 60% of the Indians in this valley died from that flu, as my grandfather ended up dying in 1953 from the flu. But the doctor came to the house and held our hand and gave him a shot. The last words he said, I don't want to go to sleep. I don't think I'll ever wake up. And he did not. He died of respiratory failure. The book of Luke is a perfect document describing the perfect humanity of the Son of Woman or the Son of Man. Luke emphasizes Jesus' ancestry, where he goes all the way back through Mary. Luke's ancestry goes through Mary, not Joseph. Matthew's ancestry goes through Joseph, which should have been on the throne of Israel. It talks about his ancestry, his birth and early life, and his miraculous virgin birth. Isaiah 7:14. It talks about his early life before moving carefully and chronologically through his earthly ministry. Jesus called out his church at the seashores of Galilee. That's where the church was called out. We have the ministry of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, like Eliezer. In the Old Testament was a forerunner of John the Baptist, the friend of the bridegroom. Belief in Jesus Christ and opposition to him grew side by side. From the very day that he pronounced himself to be the Messiah in Nazareth, they began to try to kill him from that moment on. The Jewish political society, religio-political society. Those who believe are challenged to count the cost of discipleship, because it's going to cost you everything. Those who oppose will not be satisfied until the Son of Man is hanging on the cross and dead and has breathed his last. The resurrection. Now remember, Luke is a scientist, a physicist, and a doctor. He says that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary and that he was raised from the dead. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. Luke 19 and verse 11. Catalukon is the title of this book, Catalukon, the Gospel according to Luke. The Greek name Luke, actually it's a Latin name group, it's Latin and Greek. Name Luke appears only three times in the New Testament, in Colossians 4:14, 2 Timothy 4:11, and Philemon 24. Luke's books are addressed to Theophilus, which means friend of God. He has a two-volume history of Jesus' life. The Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts are the Acts of the churches. And then some people believe that the Book of Acts is the court document defending Paul at his trial in Rome. Acts begins with a summary about Luke and continues the story from where the Gospel of Luke concludes. The style and language of Luke and Acts is the same. Luke was a very educated man, educated greatly in the Greek language. When he comes upon other languages, he quotes that language and what we call just transfers it over into the Greek. He'll quote Aramaic or Hebrew and just transfer it over into the Greek language as best he could transliterate it. The author of the Gospel of Luke was a close associate with Paul. Of course, we know that. Paul was so ill that he had a personal physician walking with him and traveling with him, which was Luke, to keep him going. Because all but two of Paul's associates are named in the third person, the list can be narrowed to Titus and Luke. And of course, we know Titus did not write this book, but Luke. Luke, the beloved physician, Colossians 4:14 and Philemon 24. During his second Roman imprisonment, Paul wrote, "Only Luke is with me," in 2 Timothy 4:11. We just finished that book. This, "Only Luke is with me," is the evidence of Luke's loyalty to the apostle in the face of profound danger. All of those people with Paul could have been tried also as accomplices. Luke might have been a Hellenistic Jew, but it is more likely that he was a Gentile. And this would make Luke the only Gentile writer of the New Testament, except for maybe Apollos in the book of Hebrews, if he wrote the book of Hebrews. And he wrote that book in classical Greek, beautiful classical Greek, as is Luke and Acts written in High Greek. Luke, of course, was written somewhere before the destruction of the temple, between 63 and maybe 68-69 AD. Now let's look about the person that Luke writes about, the person of Jesus Christ. The humanity and compassion to Jesus are repeated and stressed in Luke's gospel over and over and over again. Luke gives the most complete account of Christ's ancestry, birth, and development. He is the ideal son of woman, the promise, Genesis 3:15, and the son of man. Identified with the sorrow and the plight of sinful men, in order to carry our sorrows and offer us the priceless gift of salvation, Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22 are portrayed in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is the ideal, perfect human being. The Muslims say that Muhammad was the most perfect man that ever lived. No way. Muhammad was probably one of the most dangerous, cruel, vicious men that ever lived. Jesus, with all the power of the universe, we can see that Jesus, with all the powers of the universe at his fingertips, killed no one. Killed no one. One of the key words in the Gospel of Luke is the Son of Man. Luke specifically states the purpose of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, I want you to understand the exact truth about the things that you have been taught. Luke 1, 3, and 4. Luke wanted to create an accurate, chronological, and comprehensive, and perfectly legitimate, and the utmost accurate gospel in existence. The unique life of Jesus was to strengthen the faith of the Gentile believers and realize, let the Gentiles realize that they were part of the economy of God, that they weren't left out, that now they have been grafted into the promises of God. Some of the key verses in Luke are 1, 3, and 4, and 19 and 10. Luke said, it seemed fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, friend of God, so that you might know the exact truth, the perfect truth about the things you have been taught. Luke 1, 3, and 4. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Luke 19 and 10. One of the key chapters in Luke is Luke 15. Captured in three parables of the lost one and the lost son. This is the crux of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That God through Christ has come to seek and to save that which is lost. In looking at a survey of Luke, we have the introduction of the Son of Man in Luke 1:1 through 4:13. Luke places a strong emphasis on the ancestry, the birth, and the early years of the perfect Son of Man and of his forerunner, John the Baptist. Their infancy stories are intertwined as Luke records their birth announcements, advents, and temple presentations. Jesus prepares over 30 years, summarized in 1 verse 252, for a public ministry of only 3 years, 3.5 years. The ancestry of the Son of Man is traced back to the first Adam, and his ministry commences after his baptism and temptation. The ministry of the Son of Man, the HaMashiach of Israel, the Ho Christos, the Messiah, the Christ, is 4:14 through 9 and 50. The authority of the Son of Man over every realm is demonstrated in 4:14 through 6:49. In that section, his authority over demons, disease, nature, the effects of sin, and tradition, and death is presented to prove his divine origin. The rejection of the Son of Man, the rejection of Israel of her Messiah, of her HaMashiach, is in 951 through 1927. The dual purpose of the growing belief and the growing rejection has already been introduced in the Gospel in 4:14 through 6:11. But from this time forward, the intensity of the opposition of the Messiah, the Son of God, increases to the point of Israel committing all types of lies, perjury, sin, and murder. They're breaking all of the commandments of God. Not some, but all. No man can come to the Father except through the Son. When the religious leaders accuse Jesus of being demonized, Jesus pronounces a series of divine woes upon them, knowing that he is on his last journey to Jerusalem. Jesus instructs his church on a number of practical matters: prayer, covetousness, faithfulness, repentance, humility, and discipleship, evangelism, money, forgiveness, service, thankfulness, and his second coming, and the real simple plan of salvation. The crucifixion and the resurrection of the Son of Man is in 19:28-24:53. After his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, Jesus encounters the opposition of the priests, the Sadducees, the Herodians, the Pharisees, the Thesauri. The scribes, and he predicts the overthrow of Jerusalem. And when they turn that man, Barabbas loose, which was a leader of the Sicarii, which had imprisoned and kidnapped and asked ransom for many people to support their cause, which ended up there at the Herodian or Masada, and they say, never another Masada. Oh yes, there will be another Masada right there in the middle of that tribulation period. The tribulation period is coming upon Israel because of what they did to the Son of God. Jesus instructs his church for the last time before his betrayal in Gethsemane, and he takes the Lord's Supper with him. The first gift placed in the church was apostles. The church had baptism, and the church was baptizing before Pentecost. It said Jesus baptized more disciples than John did, but Jesus didn't baptize anybody, but the church baptized all of these by his authority, as the church does today. The church had the Lord's Supper before the day of Pentecost, and the church had a treasurer before the day of Pentecost. The church had a clerk. The treasurer wasn't quite so good. Jesus had three religious and three civil trials that culminated in his crucifixion. Five times Pontius Pilate declared Jesus was innocent. And when the Jews, he kept quoting their own law to them, and when the Jews, in the law, Deuteronomy, when a man brought false charges against a person, and when that person was proved to be innocent, the person that brought the false charges against him was to be condemned even to the point of capital punishment, which Israel should have. And Israel got it. They got it. Pontius Pilate wrote a letter to his father-in-law, the Caesar of Rome, and told him that these Jews that he had interviewed Jesus before, and by the way, this letter, Pontius Pilate's letter to Caesar Tiberius, is a factual letter. It's quoted in history all over the place. A lot of people try to make light of it, but it's real. It's real. It fills the places in between in the Gospels. It fills the places in between. He talks about Jesus walking into his presence in a praetorium. And Jesus came in there, and he said, when I saw him, he said, I am of Spanish blood and Roman blood. And I'm not afraid of anything, but he said, I couldn't speak, and I was just like I was nailed to the floor. And when he spoke, is that of a great high sage and prophet like never ever walked the face of the earth before. He said the man had blonde hair and blue eyes and a countenance of an angel of God. He was the Son of God. He talked with him and he asked him and told him that I have given you the liberty to preach and to teach from one end of my jurisdiction to the other. I have allowed you to do that because I don't think you're harmful at all, but that you're the greatest sage and prophet of all time. You're greater than all the ones before. He said, but please take it a little easier on the rats that you're nailing to the pavement, because they are accusing me of being lined up with you. And I'm afraid that they will come after your life. And I will do everything I can do to protect you. And Jesus said, O prince of this world, when my time comes, there's nothing you can do to protect me, because it is as it shall be. Pontius Pilate, oh no, I will do it. He says, no, when the time comes, there's nothing you can do. Pontius Pilate talked about that time when those vicious hyenas of hell came upon the palace and demanded the death of the Son of God. He denounced them and said that he was innocent 5 times. And yet, like hyenas and wolves, they called for his blood. He said he did everything he could do to release him. Quoted their own lives and laws to them, tell them that they were breaking their own laws. But they would not listen. He said it was just like the whole legions of Tartarus was released on the palace. He said their foot stamping and screams were shaking the walls and trembling like in an earthquake. He talked about them coming to him and demanding a guard, and he told them, do the best you can, jump in the creek. He sent his Roman soldiers to watch the Herodian soldiers, Herod's soldiers, the temple guard. He talked about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He told about his wife, the daughter of Tiberius, having a dream the night before, and said, have nothing to do with this righteous man. Pontius Pilate did everything he could to save him, but the jackals of hell prevailed. Let us go on now. We'll read a couple of verses from the Greek language. Now, all of my notes are not here. All of my notes are in California. So I'm going to this, what we may call extemporaneous. I have written an interlinear and commentary on every book in the New Testament, and several in the Old Testament. And my interlinear is in California, and I'm here, but I will do the best I can. A lot of my notes are there. And I'm a noted preacher now, because I go by notes, because I don't go by memory so much, because my memory is not as good as it once was. Let's see if I can read these small letters in Greek, because my eyesight is not as good. My letters stand up that tall that I wrote by hand. These are little bitty things. Kataloukon. Et pere de per. Baloi. Epi kai reson. Anatoxaste. Dia. Gason, Perry, Tom, Pep, Play, Roll, For, Ray, Manon, N, Himen, Parag, Maton. Now let's go back and look at this literally. And it says, many, many ones since the crucifixion, since the ministry of Jesus Christ, have taken in hand. The word since there, epi, dead, or per, is very rare. Many have taken in hand to draw out and to draw up in order a narrative They add a Gason, a narrative, concerning, Perry, tone, the having been fully carried out among us. That word is paplero for re manon, having been carried out among us, matters, pragmaton. The word pragmaton, our word pragmatic, comes from that. Now let's look at the Amplified Bible. We'll continue to look at that side by side with the Greek. Since, as it is well known, many have undertaken to put in order and to draw out thoroughly a narrative of surety, established deeds, which have been accomplished and fulfilled in and among us. In other words, right before our eyes. These things were carried out right before our eyes. Now let's go to verse number 2. Verse number 2. Kathos, peridoson, kimen, hoi, op, arkes, auto, autoptmatai, eperete, genomenoi, to lagu. If you're watching me, you're seeing that I'm squinting and looking and trying to read these words. Not easy. Just as has been handed down to us the ones from the arche from the beginning. This word parados in there, it's been handed down to us. The ones from the beginning, autoptai. Have you ever heard of an autopsy? The word autopsy comes right straight from this Greek word, autoptai. Luke is using a medical term. When a person is killed, as my father was, as my grandfather was, as my great-grandfather, nearly almost all of my family for 200 years have been murdered. That's quite a legacy. Sam Paul was killed by his son over politics in Paul's Valley. December the 19th, 1891. My grandfather at the Cherokee side, he was Chickasaw, Sam Paul was. On the Cherokee side of my family, my great-grandfather was killed in 1905 for trespassing on his own land in Indian Territory. He would not sign the Dawes Act, so he was murdered. My father was killed in 1949. And he had an autopsy on him. He was shot with a .45 caliber model 1911. Went through both of his lungs. And the autopsy report said that he died of gunshot wounds through his lungs. The word autopsy there means to look for yourself. Autopsy. When a person is killed in a violent crime, they do an autopsy on them many times, most of the time, to find out what really happened. Autopsy. And so, from the very beginning, from eyewitnesses, autopsy, and attendants, heperete, having become of the word, or actually of the accounts. Let's go back and look again. Exactly as they were handed down to us by those who, from the official beginning of Jesus' ministry, were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, that is the doctrine concerning the attainment through Christ Jesus of salvation in the kingdom of God, and how that God proceeded to, in his revelations, from the Old Testament to now, Luke writes down the practice of the Jews and trying to show to us today and to them then, to the Gentiles, because they didn't know much about the practice of the Jew, how that all of the practices from Adam all the way to the cross of Calvary pointed to Jesus Christ, God's atonement. God's atonement for all mankind. And then verse number 3, and that's where we're going to quit for tonight. Edoxe. Kamoe. Para kalu thekeote. Anothen. Pasen. Akrives. Kathexes. Si. Grapse. Kratiste. Theophile. It seemed glorious and good to me. Also, Kaimoi, also. Having thoroughly followed out through every trail and every link and every foot track, having thoroughly investigated from the source of all things, akribos. That word is accurately. We get a word acrobat from that. Have you ever watched the Olympics? And you see those people on that horse, whatever you call that, and the rings? Mm-hmm. They practice that, don't they? Mm-hmm. And they are judged by their accuracy and their acrobatic excellence. And that's what this word comes from, akribes, or akribos, that is. In order, kathexe, to you to write, most excellent friend of God, Theophilus. Now, some people think that he was a very important Christian at that time, and that Theophilus would take the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts and spread it out among the churches. Let's read this last verse now. The last verse, verse number 3. For our evening's message. It seeming good and desirable to me, I have determined also, after having searched out diligently and followed every track and every point of evidence, all things closely and traced accurately the course from the highest, the most minute detail, from the very first, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. Now, Father, I send this message out by this media. And Father, I pray that you bless people's lives with these series of messages from the Gospel of Luke. And if it is your will that I'll be able to finish this book. Father, you know that I have cancer and problems and many health problems. And by your grace and your gift of life that I have followed you this far. And whatever, whether I finish this series of messages or not, may it all glorify you in every way. May every one of these messages glorify you and point people to your Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray if there's one out there tonight that doesn't know you, somewhere, or tomorrow, the next day, or next year, that you'll convict their heart of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, proving to their minds and to their hearts that Jesus really died for them. And Father, those that are following you out there, I pray that you comfort them in all the trials that we have. And know that you have overcome all things. No matter what happens to us in this life, no matter how what is dealt to us, that you shall overcome one day. And when we close our eyes in death, that all the problems of this world are gone forever. And Father, I pray that you have, and I thank you that you've given me this lifetime of 72 years, that I've tried to nearly all of my adult life to glorify you with your word. I thank you for that. I thank you for bringing me through all the hardships and all the dangerous things in my life and all the thorns that even tried to kill me. And that sounds awfully brash in this world, but you know it to be true. Father, thank you for that time. Thank you for the life you've given me. And help me to live it for you and glorify you in it and in my death. In Jesus' name I pray.